B-Pod Studios.
I also believe that Nick Foles was a little bit of a product of Doug Peterson. Like, I'm unlike Anthony. Anthony doesn't give Doug credit for play calling and strategic things. He just thinks he's a great leader of men. I disagree with Anthony. I think that Doug is a good play caller and a good strategy head coach, as well as a great leader of men.
Except when he's doing read options with Carson.
Yeah, there's times in some of the challenges that you've brought up. I agree with that. He's not perfect. But to me, he checks all the boxes, and his team never quits on him.
Look, I got him from 4th and 2 to 4th and 3 with that challenge.
There you go.
Thanks, Doug.
Let's go to Richie King of Prussia on the Fanatic. What's up, Richie?
Hey, I just wanted to ask the what if, because it sounds like you guys are already chalking it up. If he does go to New York and Carson does play, and Carson already won, but what happens if Foles wins?
Well, that's what I want to see. I want to have that battle of those two guys going head-to-head. Let's bring this whole conversation of did the Eagles do the right thing to a head. So let's have them in the division.
Yeah, but you guys keep saying, well, that, you know, once Carson wins, it'll put the ghost of Foles behind him. Whenever we play New York, it's always a close game.
No doubt about it. I agree. I agree with you. But I want them to go head-to-head. He won't put the ghost of Nick Foles to bed until he wins his own Super Bowl, should he, Carson Wentz.
But I want your feedback on what if Foles wins? What does that do to Carson?
Well, then Carson's got to man up and beat him the next time and be better. You know what I mean? Let's bring this thing to a head. If Nick Foles is down in Jacksonville and he's having a good season and, you know, Wentz is having a good season here and they're going, Wentz, you know, falters a bit and Foles is having a good season in Jacksonville, then we'll hear it. Oh, you got rid of the wrong guy, you got rid of the wrong guy. But if they're both having good seasons, he's in Jacksonville, he's a little bit out of sight, out of mind. I want them to be omnipresent.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I'm in Wentz's camp. I'm not afraid of Foles, but I'm afraid of that what if.
Okay, let me ask you this. Would you be afraid of the Giants if Carson Wentz was the quarterback and Nick Foles was still with the Eagles?
Of course, with those other weapons.
Yeah, I agree. See, I'd be deathly afraid. Yeah, you and I are in the same boat, Rich. But not everybody agrees with us, and that's fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why it's an interesting discussion, because you can make the case that trading Wentz would have been more prudent because you would have got a great return, because you're losing Foles for nothing, except for the compensatory pick that you're going to get, third rounder. And not this year's draft, but next.
Yeah, I'm with you. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, man. Thank you. Appreciate it. DK tweets in and says, Jason Mert, you don't have to call them an idiot, but I will. Carson Wentz is going to win an MVP. Thank you for your service, big fella, Nick Foles. That's the thing. Like, this isn't anything. Like, I love what Foles did here. It was such a great story. And, you know, from being here for the 27-2 and being sent out of here by Chip Kelly to having to deal with Jeff Fisher and the Rams, and then thinking he was going to retire, coming back to football, coming here, the bond he created with Sudfeld and Wentz, all of that, and to win a Super Bowl, BDN, everything about it was so great. And I'm so grateful to what he brought this city, because, you know, we all went through times where we thought they would never win a Super Bowl because it hadn't happened yet. But I'm not afraid of Foles should he leave and go to the Giants. I'm not. I'd be afraid of losing Wentz if he was with the Giants. Tell you that right now. Let's go to Curtis in Philly on the Fanatic. What's up, Curtis?
You're the bond he created with Sudfeld.
Curtis, you got to kill that radio, dude. Oh,
okay.
I already heard myself once. I'm good.
Yeah, how's it going? How y'all doing this morning, guys?
Hanging in, man. Having some interesting dialogue here.
Yeah, I hear that. I just wanted to comment on Nick Foles. I think a better storyline will be if he went to Jacksonville and Carson Wentz and him met in the Super Bowl.
I agree with that. And caller brought that up earlier, Curtis. My only thing with that is, my reservation in that regard is, I just don't think Jacksonville's a team that can get to a Super Bowl out of the AFC. If you could guarantee that they would get to a Super Bowl and it was incumbent upon the Eagles to get there to take them on, then I go, okay. Oh, that would be interesting to me.
Yeah, that's true. You don't know, but nobody knew the Eagles would win the Super Bowl last year neither, did we?
Yeah.
So Jacksonville can make it.
Yeah, and the year prior to this past season, Jacksonville got to an AFC championship game.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. That would be the ultimate on the biggest stage, where Nick Foles has already won the big game.
Yeah,
right. And was an MVP.
Got to win one, right.
Yeah, I mean, that it would be the ultimate scenario, but I just don't have faith that Jacksonville's a team that's going to be able to do that. But so I'll take the division thing for the two times a year and go from there.
All right, I hear you, man. Hey, look, I've been listening to you guys for a long time. It was my first time calling.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks, Curtis.
I love the show, man. I love the show.
All right, let's go to Tim and McCungie on the Fanatic. What's up, Timmy?
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
Good, good. Yeah, so same as the last guy you just talked to. I've been listening to you guys a long time. First time I felt like I needed to call in, you 3 minutes ago you're going on about, you know, Foles overcame so many things and Foles did this. Mm-hmm. Foles was awesome and the story of Foles. And I just think something's wrong here. You want to cheer against them. It doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, this is a game played by human beings. You're cheering for human beings. You know, we cheered for Nick Foles. He's a person. You know, it seems like you just, you're for the franchise and what Nick Foles did for this franchise and for this city. You're ready to just.
No, yeah, I recognize, Tim, I recognize what he did for this city and being a big. The reason why I didn't jump off the bridge when Carson Wentz got hurt is because there was 52 other guys. Football's the ultimate team sport. And it was going to be hard it was going to be hard to overcome Wentz. But I cheer for the laundry, dude. I don't just cheer for a guy. I have favorite players and guys that I admire more than others. And Nick Foles, I have a ton of admiration for when he was with the Eagles and the magic that he created. I don't think that magic travels to another jersey.
I don't think the magic travels either. I agree with you there. I think no matter where Nick Foles goes, there's not going to be that connection. There's not going to be that team to stand behind him and be like, hey.
So you have a problem. Let me get down to the brass tacks here. You have a problem with me wanting him to go to the Giants because I have to cheer against him with the Giants, whereas if he goes to Jacksonville, I can cheer for him because he's not in my division.
Yeah. What he's done for us. You have to cheer for him.
No, I don't.
You have to.
Whether he's on Jacksonville, Denver, or anybody, I don't have to cheer for him. I don't cheer for guys that aren't in the team that I cheer for.
I guess we just got to agree to disagree. I don't know.
Well, we don't agree on it. I'll tell you that. We don't agree to disagree. I never do that.
He goes somewhere else. So we don't.
So you can cheer for him. Okay, so let me ask you this. Would you get, if he goes to Jacksonville, and there's a deal reportedly on the table for him, so this is a possibility. Would you get a Nick Foles jersey?
I mean, let's not get carried away.
Okay. So Jacksonville's playing.
I want to hear that he does well.
So Jacksonville's playing Indianapolis. Two teams we have no real connection to, right? We don't hate Indianapolis because they're not in our division either. You're rooting for Foles to win.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't care.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I don't care if he gets a win in that game or not.
You don't feel like you owe him anything.
No. I owe him a debt of gratitude for what he accomplished here. I don't know, a debt of gratitude going forward.
You got to give him at least that.
Not why? Why? I'm an Eagle fan. I'm not a fan of the Jacksonville. I could care less. Doesn't matter what he does down there to me.
But he was an Eagle, and what he did as an Eagle.
Yeah, look, I didn't care what Brian Dawkins did in Denver. I was mad still at the Eagles because he still had something left in the tank. But I didn't care that he was having success out there. I want my team to have success. I don't know what debt of gratitude to cheer for Nick Foles that he's gone. And don't misconstrue what I'm saying. I love what he did here. It was amazing, and I appreciate it. But I don't have to root for him going forward because he did something here. I don't have to root for guys in the NBA that were here and were really good for the Sixers and went on to other places. I'd be rooting for guys all over the NHL if I did that with the Flyers. The amount of good players that they traded too early. So I'm supposed to be rooting for Patrick Sharp in Chicago? Mike Richards in L.A.? And Jeff Carter? No. Chuck in North Carolina is on the Fanatic. What's up, Chuck?
What's going on?
What's up, buddy?
You know what? I think if he goes to the Giants, I don't think he'd be as successful as he would in Jacksonville. I think he'll have more success. So
why is that?
Not success. I just feel like with DeFilippo being down there, and I just think it's a better team. That's just my opinion. I don't think the Giants are a very good team. So I just think that for more, if Nick Foles wants, you know, better stuff, I think he needs to go there because the, you know, our division is pretty tough.
So well, the Giants do have Shurmur, who was also here, by the way.
Well, you know, but it's still the Giants. You know, I don't have.
But they have a lot of talent though, there, Chuck. I mean, look, they got Odell. They got Saquon Barkley. They got some other Ingram. They got some other offensive weapons. Frankly, they got more weapons than Jacksonville.
Well, I mean, but they have a better defense than Jacksonville, and I just think he would.
But Nick doesn't play defense. He can only control his side of the ball and what he's able to accomplish.
But I like Nick Foles down in Jacksonville. I'd like to see him go down there. You know, I want to.
Now you're going
to
root for him?
Just not against us.
You're going to root for him?
I'd like to see good things happen for him. If he plays against the Eagles, no, I'm not going to root for him. I want to see him get sacked 18 times.
I know that. I'm just talking in general. Like, look, I wish everybody would go on to something new. Like, hey, look, good, salute. Good. Go have some success.
Yep. I am rooting for him.
I'm not rooting for him to fail. I'm just not rooting for him to succeed either. I'm just in the middle. I don't care.
And I told you guys a few times, you know, when I had to buy my jersey for the Super Bowl, I bought a Carson Wentz jersey for a reason. I love Nick Foles. I like what he did.
I did, but too. I bought a Wentz jersey. Thanks for the call, Chuck. I bought a Wentz jersey from Super Bowl 52, and he didn't play in it. I mean, is that weird? Like, I have a Super Bowl champion 52 logo, Philadelphia Eagles jersey, and it says Wentz on the back. I didn't even buy a Nick Foles jersey. That's probably a violation by me.
No, it's not a violation. It's a good investment.
Because I wanted the Wentz jersey going forward.
Now, then again, a Foles jersey is still a good investment because you can always come back to the stadium and wear it.
Especially that Super Bowl 52 one.
Yeah, you can always wear it.
Kidding me? Yeah, that was kind of me, like, not giving the man his due. But I was looking at it as a long-term investment. I was at Modell's that day. I said, am I going to go Foles or am I going to go Wentz? And I'm a Wentzman.
You go with Carson Wentz.
And I did.
Hey, my best investment was my Jamie Moyer jersey. Even though he's not in the league anymore.
He's not pitching anymore?
No, he's like 52 now. He's pitching until he's 50, though.
Yeah, he was.
But hey, he won a World Series in this town and pitched in a World Series game.
So of all the players on that team you could have bought a jersey for, you bought Jamie Moyer.
Damn right I did.
Jeez. We need to have an intervention with you someday.
Who's Howard, Rollins, and Utley?
Yeah, exactly. 610-632-0975. Two open lines. That is the number. Coming at the bottom of the hour, Zach Berman from the Philadelphia Inquirer, covers the Eagles, Philly.com, will join us here on the program. Stay tuned. But I got to tell you about the guys at Natural Lawn, because when my kids are running around in the yard, and I want to make sure that what I put on my lawn is safe. Kids love to get outside. They're dying to get outside. That usually comes at the expense of keeping your yard really green and healthy. Well, Natural Lawn of America, they use safer, organic-based lawn care products that actually reduce the amount of chemicals used on your lawn. With Natural Lawn, you don't have to sacrifice beauty for safety. So you're going to get a greener lawn, and you don't have to be worried about your kids running around in it, the pets, whatever. For over 25 years, Natural Lawn has been recognized as the leader in organic-based lawn care. And for as many years as I can remember, Mikey Miss always talking about Natural Lawn. You got to use them. Well, whether you live in PA or New Jersey, Natural Lawn's customized treatments will give you the lush green lawn you've always wanted. And for a limited time, Natural Lawn is offering $100 off their full service program. Again, $100 off. So call Natural Lawn today for a greener lawn with fewer weeds and tell them Jason sent you. Call 855-LAWN-CARE. Again, here's the number, 855-LAWN-CARE. Natural Lawn of America, greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Earlier today with Gargano and Mertidis.
I didn't believe that people were really kind of wanting Carson Wentz to fail so they can say they were right about Nick Foles, but they exist. I still cannot believe it, that people are still hung up on this and that they're so committed to Nick Foles and the mindset that he's the better quarterback moving forward. And that may be right. I don't know. How it plays out, we'll ultimately find out. But to want the team, or Wentz in particular, to not have success to prove the point, to me, is straight up idiotic and asinine.
That show recap was brought to you by Dietz and Watson. Try their all-new Dietz Nuts Protein Pack Savory Sausage Snack. Learn more at DietzandWatson.com. Now, here are Anthony Gargano and Jason Mertidis.
One of us is here and off today. Jason with you. Coming up in a few minutes, about 7 minutes from now, we're going to talk to Zach Berman, Philadelphia Inquirer, Philly.com. Eagles beat writer, and we'll get the latest on the Eagles' free agency is just about upon us in 8 days. Dan Gibbons tweets in. He says, dude, stop speaking to appease Anthony and Mike. You really can't see the difference in rooting for Foles as a former player compared to rooting for Mike Richards, Dawkins. Foles won the Super Bowl against Brady. Those guys, even Dawkins, won nothing here. Nothing. Okay. There is a difference. And I don't know what you're talking about, stopping to appease Anthony and Mike. I don't give a one-tenth of one crap about appeasing them. You may want to follow a little closer to me. But that being said, I don't care if he won a Super Bowl here. I love that he won a Super Bowl here. But going forward, now that he's not a Philadelphia Eagle, I don't need to root for him. To me, that seems... I'm not wishing him failure, but I'm not wishing him success either. I don't care. Because I care about the team that my organization or franchise puts on the field. Let's go to Steven in Virginia Beach on the Fanatic. What's up, Steven?
Hey, bud, I need to get back in my car because I got trucks running down the road. I'm a little ticked off at some of the other people. I'm born and raised in Philly. I moved down here about a year or so ago. I'm just really ticked off about the thinking of some of these people here. First and foremost, there are 32 teams in the league. If you bleed green, you bleed green. Now, there are going to be players that are going to come and go. I love the heck out of Brian Dawkins, but I wasn't rooting for him when he went to play for Denver.
Yep, exactly. That you guy know, I brought up to, and he's like the most beloved Eagles player ever.
You know, I'll tell you what. I looked at a documentary not too long ago, and it had the difference between Boston and Philadelphia, and it said something like how Boston is known for great teams and we're known for great players. We need to get over it. You need to be loyal to your logo and to your city. Stop being loyal to the player. You know, like the player, I'm not rooting for anybody to get hurt. Of course, we wish Nick Foles all the best. But guess what? You bleed green, you got to bleed green. That's just what it is.
Wow. What was that saying again? In New England, what was it
They're
again?
Known for great
teams.
New England's known for great teams, and Philly's known for great players. And guess what? It hurts to say, but it's true. You know, this
wow,
is the golden era of Philly sports. Get on board and shut up.
Yeah. Look, I agree. I can't root for whether Nick Foles ends up on the Jaguars, the Titans. I don't care where he ends up. I'm just not going to root for him. You know, I'm not going to root against him. I'm just ambivalent on it.
I feel the same exact way. I think, you know, coaches like Doug Peterson, they deserve us to get fully behind them, not because of who plays on their team, because a guy proved that he can win.
Yeah.
With or without. And Carson Wentz, this kid is young. You know, the reason Joel Embiid stayed hurt, I don't know what's going on this time, but the reason he stayed hurt a couple years ago is because his body was still growing. Now you don't see a young developing player. Now you see a grown man. I think Carson Wentz is kind of going through some of that. And if we give this kid ample time, I think he's going to win us another Super Bowl. I'm loyal to that logo at the 50-yard line at Lincoln Financial Field. Not a player, not anything else. That logo. And that's
well said.
It.
Well said, Steven. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Reggie in Dallas on the Fanatic. What's up, Reg?
Hey, how's it going, sir?
What's up, man?
Hey, man. Hey, just wanted to love the show, by the way. Just wanted
Thank
to call
you.
In and say I think we're making a humongous mistake by letting Foles go. I really do.
All right.
And I have facts to support, in my opinion.
Okay, roll it out for me. Let me see what you got.
All right, so I'll start from the Wentz point of view, right? And I'm a huge Wentz fan, always have been. But let's look at, everybody keeps talking about his 33-7 year. Let's take a look at that. What really made him special was his legs. Right? People were saying, oh my God, he's a magician in the pocket. A lot of his touchdowns were outside the pocket, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember saying he's going to have a major injury because he's too big of a target doing that. And guess what? He got hurt. So then last year he comes back, right? And he tries to become a pocket passer. And guess what? Alshon's productivity disappeared. Aguilar's productivity disappeared. In comes Funk. And Zach Ertz looks like he's all world. Right? So then what happens this year? Right? And then people say, well, Foles looked horrible the first two games. He was throwing to Sheldon Gibson and Mike Wallace,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, and then you look at what Foles did at the end of the year. He came in and saved us again. So I just think he's a better fit for this offense, and I think the Wentz we have going forward is not the Wentz we drafted, because when you have a major lower leg injury, we're going to hope he can be a pocket passer, and I don't know if he can.
Well, no, look, you got to also realize this, though, Reg. When you come back from that double knee surgery It takes time. So he's not going to be the quarterback last season that he was prior. Now, this season, he doesn't have any mobility. He doesn't get his timing in the pocket right. They say it takes a full season after your surgery to get back to where you were. And I believe that. That's why all last offseason, I kept saying to people, you got to temper your expectations for this guy this year. And I was told I was an idiot for that. But that's just the fact. And then you couple that with the fact that he hurt his back. It basically, in the first game he came back in, because prior to the game against the Minnesota Vikings, he was in major back pain. Major.
My point exactly. He's damaged goods to me at this point. I would have rather rolled.
Wow, he's damaged goods?
No. I'm serious. This is just my philosophy. I believe that the rest of his career is going to be injury plagued. This is just my belief.
Right, Reg. I got to move on, Reg. Thanks for the call, but you could be right. Look, that's why. I'm not going to call people a nitwit or an idiot or anything for having that point of view, because the fact of the matter is this: that in Wentz's rookie year, he got hurt in preseason. He ended up playing all 16 in his rookie season. In his second year, he got hurt, obviously. Played into 13 games. And then last year, he played in 11 games. So, look, I'm one of those guys that says, do you believe in ghosts? Well, I haven't seen one, so I don't believe in it. Until I see that he can stay healthy, I'm not saying I don't think he can, but I will tell you this. I'm going into the next season sitting on eggshells every game. Every single game, I'm sitting on eggshells if this quarterback can stay healthy. And that's because the last 2 years, he hasn't. And if I'm going to sit there and say the Eagles need to move on from Jason Peters because he can't stay on the field to play, while he's on the field to play, he's good, but if he's not available, availability is the most important thing, then I got to hold myself accountable for that same type of thinking when it comes to Carson Wentz. Let's talk to the man right now. We need some answers on this Eagles offseason. It's already been a little interesting, re-signing Brandon Graham and Isaac Seumalo. There's a lot of decisions to be made. And joining us right now from the Philadelphia Inquirer, covers the Eagles, also Philly.com, Zach Berman on the Comcast Business Hotline. Zach, how's the offseason been going?
It's going well, but I'm looking forward to it picking up. It picked up last week, and it's going to continue on through next week and the weeks after.
So let's talk about what happened last week, and it was the extension of Brandon Graham. At the end of the year, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that the Eagles were going to move on, and Brandon Graham was hugging all the media members as the season ended, and he's been a fan favorite and a media favorite around here. What went into that decision to bring him back, and do you think it was a good one?
Well, first off, I never thought it was a foregone conclusion. I was skeptical whether the Eagles would reach a number to bring him back. I do think last week at the combine, both sides kind of saw what the defensive end market was going to be, and I think it was a fair deal for Brandon, and maybe a little more than I expected the Eagles to pay, but for a premium position on their roster, you can certainly understand it. Now, you're going to need Brandon Graham to play at a high level here for the next 2 years. That third year of the deal, it's mainly those first 2 years. So that's the question: will he play at a high level? But if recent years are any indication, it makes sense. And I'd be confident to say that if Brandon Graham hit the open market next week, he would be very well paid.
One of the guys that the Eagles decided to move on from was in a free agency, and we'll get to Nick Foles in a second, but is also Tim Jernigan. Were you surprised to see them not pick up the option on his contract?
Not at all in Jernigan's case. You saw the injury last year. It was a real expensive option, and frankly, for what he provided, it wasn't worth that. The only question is, could you have renegotiated? But it made sense to me. And when you look, this is an absolutely loaded defensive tackle draft class. Would not surprise me the least bit if the Eagles pick a defensive tackle in the first round. I think that was more the direction they were going, was to improve that position as opposed to trying to see if Jernigan can get healthy.
One of the decisions made and was regarding Nick Foles. Obviously, that was the big kind of headline heading into this offseason. How would the Eagles handle it? Would they franchise tag Foles? Would they let him buy himself out of his contract and hit free agency? They opted for the latter. He goes into free agency. Was there just not a trade market out there for Nick Foles in that scenario of tagging him?
Exactly. I think the Eagles would have loved to try to trade him, but I just don't think the market was there. He's going to end up in Jacksonville, it looks like. And if you look at the amount of teams that are looking for a quarterback, after that Joe Flacco trade, it was really down to Jacksonville,
Miami, Washington, maybe New York Giants, but it certainly doesn't look that way. So it was a limited market, and I think the Eagles' hands were tied. And, you know, you can paint it as them kind of doing a good thing by Nick Foles in terms of letting him become a free agent, but I think that was the practical thing to do.
Yeah, we're talking with Zach Berman on the Comcast Business Hotline. Zach, you reported yesterday, I saw, that the Eagles are not interested in Antonio Brown, the Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver. Why are they shying away from Antonio Brown? Is it a money play, or the person that he is, the disruption that he can be, or some combination of both?
Yeah, so if you look at Antonio Brown, he wants a new contract wherever he goes. The compensation would be high just to trade for him. I just don't think it makes sense for the Eagles. I understand where they're coming from there. That's not to say they're not going to look to upgrade at wide receiver this offseason or at running back. I actually think they're going to be more active in free agency than fans might think. I just don't think Antonio Brown made sense in terms of the draft pick compensation and then the contract it would require.
We know the areas where the Eagles need to upgrade, Zach, and you mentioned free agency. It'll be 8 days from now when it opens. The tampering period, 6 days from now, coming up on March 11th. One of the big names that's out there now is Le'Veon Bell. The Eagles have a need at running back. Do they get into the Le'Veon Bell sweepstakes?
It's a good question. I'm not going to get on here and completely rule it out. I think about Alshon Jeffrey a few years ago when the market might not have been what Alshon thought and signed a one-year deal with the Eagles. I'm not saying that's going to happen with Bell, but I do think the Eagles are going to remain flexible and see what's available. They know they need to upgrade running back with 2 second-round picks. That would be a good time to do it. You know, there's also the trade market. You look at Duke Johnson with the Cleveland Browns would be a very interesting fit. But I'm not going to categorically rule them out of a premier running back because I do think the Eagles are going to open up some cap space here and they'll have flexibility next week.
Zach Berman joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline from Philadelphia Inquirer, covers the Eagles, philly.com. Zach, you mentioned that you think the Eagles may make a splash in free agency. Howie Roseman is always a guy who likes to grab the back page, sometimes the front page. We know he's a bold GM and he's a master at manipulating the cap. Where are the areas that you think that they'll dip into free agency as opposed to the draft and try and accomplish some things all in advance of the NFL draft on April 25th?
Yeah, good question. I think wide receiver is a position I can see them looking at. Defensive line, if it's the right fit, you know, they like having a rotation there. They're getting older. Linebacker potentially if Jordan Hicks walks. If I had to guess, I don't think the Eagles are major players for your highest priced free agents. I think more in that next tier. If you look, if you think in 2016 when they signed Brandon Brooks and Monty McLeod, I think that's more the model the Eagles will go after.
Value propositions.
Players. Yeah, and not cheap deals per se, but maybe not your top of the list free agents, but your tier two free agents.
Yeah, and Howie's been a master of finding guys that maybe aren't in the best position to garner a lot of money and then getting a lot out of them and either extending them or moving on. It's been so impressive. What about Jason Peters? Obviously, he's headed to the Hall of Fame at some point when he decides to hang up the cleats. Do the Eagles bring back Jason Peters?
Fascinating question. I do think Jason Peters is going to be back. I can't tell you at what number it's going to be. I can see something done with his contract. But unless the Eagles are determined to draft a left tackle early, I don't think the free agent market has what they'll need. And I don't know if you can turn to Halapulavati Vaitai or Jordan Mailata at that position right now. Given Jason Peters' history in Philadelphia, I can see him coming back one more year. I just don't know what number it's going to be.
Zach, we know that Carson Wentz didn't finish the season again for the Eagles. The injury label is going to follow him until he proves us all otherwise. Howie Roseman has not been ready to discuss the timeline for Wentz's return from the back injury for this offseason. A, where do you know? What's your thought on where Carson Wentz is right now and with his offseason program, and what's the timeline going to be for Carson Wentz throughout this offseason?
I'm expecting Carson to be ready when they get back on the field this spring. I haven't heard anything that would suggest otherwise. Obviously, they'll be cautious if they need to, but I think it does fit within the time frame for him to return. And actually, I'll say this: we were talking about free agency a few moments ago. I think the Eagles are going to be active in the veteran free agent market for a quarterback. I think they'll look for a backup quarterback to compete with Nate Sudfeld as a veteran free agent as opposed to a rookie.
Wow, very interesting. Do you have any names in mind that you think could be available in that veteran bracket, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the top veteran backup quarterbacks, you have a guy like Tyrod Taylor, mm-hmm. you have a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think Tyrod Taylor would make a lot of sense. The Eagles don't have a starting competition to offer, but what they do have is a quarterback who has been hurt the last two Decembers.
Yeah.
So obviously those players would like a chance to start, but if that's not available, I do think the Eagles are going to look there. They really value the number two quarterback position, and Nate Sudfeld, for as much potential as he has, only has thrown 25 passes in the NFL.
Yeah, he doesn't instill a ton of confidence in me. Zach, last question. One of the things that we've been talking about today and saw a report that the Giants may not be sold completely on Eli Manning. We know that we presume there's a deal on the table for Nick Foles to end up with Jacksonville, but perhaps another team comes into the mix like the New York Giants and will go offer more money for Nick Foles. The storyline of Nick Foles ending up with the Giants would be a lot of fun for you guys as beat writers, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I don't see it going in that direction. Frankly, I think Nick wants an opportunity where he can start the next few years, and my guess is the Giants look at that Kansas City model where they draft a quarterback early on, and that guy's developing for a year behind Eli or whoever's starting there, and then they make the transition next year. I just don't know if the Giants, if they were interested in Nick, have that long-term commitment, and my guess is Nick's looking to be more than a placeholder quarterback.
Yeah. And while we got some breaking news while you're on the phone here too, Zach, per Adam Kaplan, the Eagles continuing their busy offseason have restructured Lane Johnson's contract for cap purposes, sourced information from Adam Kaplan. So the Eagles offseason, it's heating up for you, brother.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like it that way.
How's the book doing?
Book's doing well. I appreciate you asking. Underdogs, the Philadelphia Eagles, emotional road, the Super Bowl victory. I know the Super Bowl was two seasons ago now, but if you want to see how that team came together and what made that team special, it's still available in bookstores, online, anywhere you get books.
I know it seems like a long way away, but that's good beach reading. You know,
absolutely.
This summer, sitting on the beach and read a book.
That's perfect.
Zach, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Zach Berman on the Comcast Business Hotline from the Philadelphia Inquirer. And yeah, the book's a good book. I read a lot of portions of it. I'm not a big reader. I like to wait for the movie. But
you don't say.
But I mean, it's a great story. That whole Super Bowl run, Underdogs, it's a great read. And, you know, one of the great things to do, a lot of people love reading on the beach. Hang out, get in your chair, get your toes in the sand, a la Zach Brown Band. Get your ass in the sand and your feet in the water, and you're good to go.
I'll be seeing them this summer if they're in town.
Is that right?
Third time.
I'd love good concert, right?
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. I've never seen them, but I'd like to. It's a good party, I'd imagine. 610-632-0975. We've got some open lines. Haven't had many of those today. Interesting discussion. Zach doesn't believe that Nick Foles is going to end up with the New York Giants. Well, the Giants, a report came out earlier today that the Giants may be willing to move on from Eli Manning and go into free agency, and Nick Foles would be a likely target. Do you prefer Nick Foles to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars? Are you afraid of Nick Foles? He goes to the New York Giants? I ain't afraid.
Who do you think the Giants would prefer? The fans?
The Giant fans?
Yeah.
I think they would prefer Nick Foles over Eli. I think they've all seen enough of Eli Manning. 610-632-0975. Bring the heat at the top of the hour, and we'll give some Temple tickets coming up as well. Stay tuned. It's the Midday Show. Back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Are you kidding me?
What up?
It is the Midday Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. Bring the heat coming up at the top of the hour. Thanks to Zach Berman for joining us. Eagles off season, things heating up. Players coming, players going. Free agency next week. Legal tampering period in 6 days on March 11th. New league year opens up on March 13th. Free agents can officially sign. We'll see what Howie Roseman does this offseason for the Eagles and getting them back. Bryce Harper, the big signing for the Phillies, obviously, via free agency, has caught the city by storm. Bryce Mania is underway here in Philadelphia. What does that mean for your expectations of the Phillies? Andrew says they got to make the playoffs. Get into the playoffs. That's the reasonable expectation. We'll check our Twitter poll coming up. You see a couple of celebrity deaths. Yesterday, Luke Perry passed away.
Yeah, young age, too.
52. He had a stroke, I guess, last week and was unable to recover. Of course, of 90210 fame. Played in another show. I can't remember what it was called.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, I can't remember. It was one of the newer shows he's in right now. And also King Kong Bundy has passed
away. I saw that this morning.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a big wrestling guy, but the future father-in-law is, and he has shown me many videos.
Of King Kong Bundy?
Yeah, many.
Is he the guy that used to eat the turnbuckle?
Yes.
Or no, that was George the Animal Steel.
Was
that
it?
That used to eat the turnbuckle, yeah.
Again, I don't watch wrestling.
Yeah, I did a little bit as a kid, but...
scripted.
Yeah, King Kong Bundy. I grew up and don't watch anymore. But yeah, King Kong Bundy has passed away, and Luke Perry from Beverly Hills 90210. I watched the Beverly Hills 90210 show. When it came
did you?
Of course, man. There's a lot of good-looking girls on it.
That's a good reason to watch. It's a good excuse. You just love the show, be honest.
No, I didn't mind it. I watched it. Yeah, it was a decent show.
You love the plot?
Yeah, it's a good show. Back then. I don't know that it would be good now to rewatch it, but you know, you're in a different mindset at that time. Here's the number, 610-632-0975. A couple things that we've been talking about today. One is the reasonable expectations of the teams in Philadelphia. The Phillies, they signed Bryce Harper. What is a reasonable expectation for the Phillies this season with not only just Bryce Harper, but also JT Realmuto, Robertson, Segura, McCutcheon, getting rid of Santana, all of those things. You got to consider all of them. What is a reasonable expectation? Eagles opting to let Nick Foles go via free agency and hitch their wagon to the Wentz wagon. What is a reasonable expectation as we sit basically a week here before NFL free agency? The Sixers go into the season with Simmons and Embiid. They acquire Jimmy Butler. They acquire Tobias Harris. The Big Four, what's a reasonable expectation? Flyers are in the midst of some, I guess you'd call it rebuild, retool, whatever. Young players playing really well. You have the goalie going forward in Carter Hart. You at least think so. Reasonable expectation for their offseason where they'll have a lot of cap space for the first time in forever and then move into another regular season next year. Still only 5 points out of a playoff spot. We'll be back at it tomorrow night. Sixers back in action against Orlando tonight. So the poll question, and it's brought to you by Roofing Nation, where you can get a brand new roof for less than $7,900 plus free gutters. Call Roofing Nation today at 833-4NATION or visit roofingnation.com. Here's the poll question. Which of these four teams do you have the highest, quote, reasonable expectation for the next 18 months? That's the remainder of this season and into next year. 33% say the Philadelphia Eagles with the return of Carson Wentz. 33% say also the Big Four, the Sixers. They have the highest reasonable expectation. 31% say the Phillies with Bryce Harper. And 3% say the Flyers rebuild. I voted for the Eagles and Carson Wentz. But that being said, the addition of Harper has been such a huge thing. And because it took so long, while it was annoying that it took 119 days from when free agency opened till the Eagles, or Phillies rather, came to an agreement with Bryce Harper, because it took that long, it feels like the Phillies kind of beat other teams. It's like you got to win. You know what I mean? Because it was this jockeying for position. And because it took that long, you won Bryce Harper. So you won the offseason because many wanted Bryce Harper more than they wanted Manny Machado. But that being said, what does that mean for the Phillies? Now, it wasn't just Harper that they acquired this offseason. You got some legit players. They improved immensely.
They were better without Harper.
A lot.
Right? And then they get Bryce Harper. Now that's why the expectations are even higher.
Yeah, and the left-handed at bat in the middle of their lineup. But funny, they come in third when you go by the highest reasonable expectation for a team. Now, the question is where do they come in people's sports pecking order? Like the pecking order of your sports fandom or what you're paying attention to changes in like the calendar. Like this time of year, we're looking forward to baseball season. Football's kind of in a holding pattern because training camp's so far off.
It's the first time we're talking Eagles in a while.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously the Sixers are on, you know, the doorstep next month of the playoffs, and they got the Big Four, so that's going to take up even more. But if you look at, like, the grand scope of things, like if your interest level, for most people it's always the Eagles as the number one. And right now it's the Sixers as number two. I wonder if because of what the Phillies did this offseason, because they made all those moves and we just laid them out, Robertson, Segura, McCutcheon, Harper, Real Muto, all those moves, coupled with Rhys Hoskins now being a first, Santana gone, Aaron Nola was signed to an extension, Jake Arrieta actually reported when pitchers and catchers report because he was signed, all of those things. Did the Phillies move up in the pecking order of Philadelphia sports for anybody? Did they dethrone the Sixers? And can they dethrone the Sixers in the big picture? Because the Sixers got the one guy that's the biggest star in the city.
Well, Simmons is pretty big, too.
Yeah, but they have Embiid. He's the biggest star. He's bigger. It's weird. He's a bigger star than the quarterback of the football team.
Yeah.
That's hard to do.
He is. I think 365 days, if we're taking the total average out of all 365 days, not just right now, not during the month of
June.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think overall, the average, now I'm different. Phillies are number one for me, let's face it.
Yep.
But for the average Philadelphia sports fan, it would go Eagles, Sixers, Phillies, Flyers.
Totally agree.
And I don't want to knock the Flyers. It's just what
it is. It's the reality of the situation.
And the Phillies
I'm a hockey honk.
Right.
You know that.
The Phillies are going to close the gap on the Sixers. Like if we were to do a pie chart, it was Eagles, Sixers. They had a huge majority of the pie. Now they still have the majority of the pie, but the Phillies closed the gap a lot this year. I don't think they surpassed them because I think people have these huge expectations for the Sixers. I mean, people were saying NBA Finals are bust already.
Yeah, the only way like a team like I think the Phillies could overcome the Sixers is if the Sixers were horrible. And that's clearly not the case because they have great players.
Yeah, or if they're like an annual second round elimination team and the Phillies are going to the World Series every other year.
Yep, exactly. And the Phillies had that in 08 because the Sixers weren't very good. Flyers weren't very good. The Eagles weren't very good.
And Eagles were still
Eagles
number
went
one.
To an NFC Championship game that year.
But they're still number one.
I don't mean 08 in general, but I mean that during that run, Flyers went to a cup final in 2010. But that being said, that order I don't think can change going forward because the NBA is so great at marketing. And as long as the Sixers have guys like Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, then they're going to be number two to the Eagles in this town.
The best part for the Phillies now is that they are relevant and they will be a hot topic and they have the entire summer.
Mm-hmm.
Like football, we're going to start talking football more and more once the draft comes to an end, once training camp comes to an end. But we will be able to react to baseball
every day
from the time the Sixers either win the finals or get eliminated, which could be any time between, May and June or even July. And then you have from that period of when the Sixers are done, you give the week of fire Brett Brown, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And then all the way until September, baseball is going to be a huge topic in Philly.
Yeah.
And that's the best thing for the Phillies. That's why they signed Bryce Harper.
Yeah, and the only lame week of the sports calendar will be the week of the baseball All-Star game because there'll be nothing going on. And the Phillies won't be playing. But when they come back, you're right. You're reacting every day. And like the bring the heat line will be reacting to decisions that Gabe made in the seventh inning or in the ninth inning or how great it was that Bryce Harper hit a walk-off double. You know what I mean? And he's earning that money.
We'll be talking trade deadline.
Yeah.
Recent years, it's been selling, but it hasn't been selling big names. It's been selling.
Well, last year was Machado. What? They were in pursuit of Machado, so that was a big deal.
But before that, it's like, all right, what can you get for Jeremy Hellickson?
Yeah.
Now it's who can you get to push this team into a deep playoff run?
Yeah, and you sent me a text this morning, early this morning, saying, how do we handle like the programming of the radio show when all four teams will be relevant? I think there's a real simple question, a real simple answer to it, is you react when the team, if all four teams are relevant, when something of conversation, conversability happens, you react to it and you talk about it. All four teams. That's what this thing is supposed to be all about.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.